3 this evening, Psalm 3. And last week we started a four-part series from Psalm 3. And I mentioned to you that there are 8 verses in this particular psalm, and really 4 divisions, 2 verses each. And so last week we looked at verses 1 and 2, and as we examined the first 2 verses of Psalm 3, we saw the reality of the situation that David faced. You'll remember that this psalm, if you think about the background of this psalm and the setting for this psalm, was during the time of Absalom's rebellion and his revolt. And as we begin to notice and look back at 2 Samuel 15 and 16 and look through those chapters that record for us the event that that David is going through, we will find that as we look at this text of Scripture, this is not an exaggeration on the part of David. This is not a an assumption on the part of David. We find that this is reality. This is what he was facing. This is what he was dealing with. We find that it was in verse number 1 that he says, "They are increased that trouble me." They're increased that trouble me. He says again in verse number 1, we used it as the title of the message last week, "Many are they that rise up against me." And so they've increased, those that trouble me. There are many that rise up against me. We find that he said this in verse number 2, that they were saying of David, "There is no help for him in God." God's not even going to be able to help him in this situation. I'm thankful that our God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen? I'm thankful that the Bible tells us, "Lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And not only is he able to help, but he is available to help. And I'm so thankful for the truth of God's word with regard to that statement, that reality of the help that God provides. As we think about the truth of this passage of Scripture being a reality, not an exaggeration, not a possibility that they're going to rise against me, but a reality, it was told to us in 2 Samuel 15 and verse number 12, "And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." We find that this was the situation in which David was facing, and it was a real situation. The reality is painted, is provided to us in verses 1 and 2. This evening, as we examine and continue through the portion of Scripture, we'll look at verses 3 and 4, and really we'll consider tonight the response, David's response to the situation. We see the reality last week, but I mentioned even as we closed last Wednesday evening, that certainly we face troubles, we face difficulties. There are people that will oppose those of us as we will stand for biblical truth. We will face opposition. There are many adversaries. We understand that. We read the Word of God, and we understand that every time someone attempts to do something for God, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be adversity. But how do we respond to that opposition? How is it that we respond to the adversity that we face? How is it that we respond to those that would trouble us, those that would speak ill of us? What is it that we do? How is it that we respond? And tonight we'll deal with the response of David to this situation. I would say this, in a single word, his response is one of prayer. And that's a simple way of looking at verses 3 and 4. If you are taking notes and want a title for the message this evening, it would be from verse number 4, "I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice in the response, look at verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah." As we look at these verses of Scripture and consider the response of David to the situation, I want you to notice, first of all, that David rehearses who God is to him. In this act of rehearsing, in verse number 3, as he rehearses, it's really a reminder to himself. And oftentimes as we pray, we've often mentioned, I've said, and I've encouraged, and I've even revealed to you personally how in my own prayer time, how I begin my prayer time with a time of adoration, praising God for who He is. And also not only who He is and His attributes and His character, but really who He is to me. And we begin to consider oftentimes throughout the Scriptures, we find that He is my advocate. He is my shepherd. He is my forerunner. He is my great high priest. We begin to think about these things. And as we rehearse those things, we're reminding ourselves of who God is to us. I'm thankful that He's my Savior. And I'm thankful that He is the Savior of the world. But you think about the truth that He's my Savior personally. And David, we find in verse number 3, he says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head." So we find that in verse number 3, we spoke that his response is one of prayer, that he's praying. We see that in verse number 4, he says, "I cried unto the Lord." But we notice in verse number 3, as he speaks about who God is to him, I want you to consider this evening that as we respond to situations such as what David was in, facing, that which he was dealing with, when we deal with adversity, when we deal with opposition, when we deal with trouble and trials, when we respond in prayer, when we respond by first rehearsing who God is to me, when we recognize and remind ourselves of who He is, it's encouraging. It encourages us, it strengthens us, and it helps us to shift our focus. Sometimes what happens in the time of trial, in the time of trouble, in the time of difficulty, is that all we can focus upon is that trouble. Right? It just consumes us, and we just are so focused upon the trouble and the trial and the opposition and the adversity, and it sucks all of our attention and all of our time, and we're so focused on those things. And when we begin to pray, we begin to rehearse who God is to us, it's a shift in focus. No longer am I focusing on woe is me. No longer am I focusing on my problem, my trouble, my trial. But we find that here in Psalm 3, as David understands the reality of the situation in the first two verses, his response is one of prayer, and he begins that prayer by rehearsing who God is to him. First of all, he says that He is a shield for me. "But Thou, O Lord," verse number 3, "art a shield for me." Oftentimes throughout the book of Psalms, we find that the Word of God teaches us and reveals to us that our God is a shield and a buckler. We find that this is the first reference of God being a shield for me in the book of Psalms. And we find that David, as he says, as he makes this declaration, as he rehearses who God is to him, when he reminds himself that God, Jehovah, the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that He is a shield for me. Think about that. I mean, he's dealing with great adversity. Remember, those that were increased, that were troubling him, we find that he said there were many that rise up against him. It says that in verse number 2 that those enemies were saying of him that there is no help for him in God. And we find that David, he responds, though the conspiracy was strong and though the people increased continually with Absalom, we find that he begins to remind himself as he rehearses, and he says, "Lord, Thou art a shield for me." What does a shield do? A shield provides defense. A shield provides protection. And we think about the imagery, and we think about the understanding as David is praying and he's rehearsing who God is to him. He begins by saying, "Lord, You're my shield. Lord, You art a shield for me." I love the fact that he says "for me" because it's personal. It's precious when you think about it in those terms. Often we've made the statement as we've considered the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and all of the personal pronouns that are used by the psalmist in that wonderful, familiar psalm. And we find that brings great comfort to our hearts. It encourages us and it strengthens us. And here, as David is rehearsing who God is, yes, he's dealing with great adversity, with great opposition, but he says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. They may say that there's no help for him in God, but God, I know that you're my shield. Isn't that precious? And we see, do you notice how there's a shift in focus? Do we notice how that, yes, the reality of the situation is given to us in verses 1 and 2. Indeed, this is not just an assumption. This is not an exaggeration. There was real trouble. But instead of being consumed and focused upon just the trouble and the many adversaries and all of the problems, his attention, why? Because he responded in prayer. His attention, his focus is shifted not to his problem, but to his God. And how precious that is. Someone said this, we need to simply glance at our circumstances, but we need to gaze at our Savior. And I like that. Because Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So often, however, we find ourselves as we live this life, when we go through difficulties and trials and troubles, that we actually gaze upon our problems and simply glance at our Savior and how it's not the way it ought to be. We think of Peter. Oftentimes we think of Peter when he walked on water. What happened when he walked on the water? Where was his attention fixed? I don't know how many steps he took out of the boat, but I find in my sanctified imagination as I would look at that scene, I find that Peter is zeroed in. He is gazing. He is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. And what does Jesus say? Come. And what does Peter do? He walks. Was the storm raging? Were the waves tempestuous? Was the wind boisterous? Absolutely. But he's focused upon Jesus. And he walked on water. And then what happened to Peter? His focus changed. Right? What do you look at? Man, the wind, the waves, the reality of what he was facing. And he began to sink. What's the Bible tell us? He was wise. He said, Lord, help. And the Lord graciously brought him up. And I believe with all my heart that he walked on water back to the boat. However far he got out of the ship, he had to walk that far back with the Lord. And we find that here, as we note the response, we find that David begins first by rehearsing who God is to him. That's why it's so important that we know the Word of God. And we know who He is to us. And we understand this evening that David begins by saying, Thou art a shield for me. The defense that I need, Lord, You provide. The protection that I so desperately need in this situation, in this trial, in this adversity that I'm facing. Lord, You're the one that's going to provide that for me. Notice he continues. He says, My glory. My glory. Honor, glory, though David's circumstances had changed rapidly and drastically, I want you to consider the fact that the Lord is constant. He's consistent. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you thankful for that? We mention about the immutability of the Lord. He never changes. And though our circumstances change, and though we can deal with adversity, and we can have moments in life that some have referred to as being roller coaster type of events, and we can see the ups and downs of life, we find that our God remains constant, and it's He that is our glory. And we look to Him, and we find that David is focused upon the constant and the consistent nature of our God. He says this, at the end of verse number 3, and the lifter up of mine head. What happens sometimes when we deal with troubles and trials? we get discouraged, do we not? We're human. God knows that we're but dust. He formed us. He made us, right? He knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. And we find that oftentimes as we deal with opposition and adversity and troubles and trials in life, that it is possible for us to get discouraged. And one thing that happens when we get discouraged is sometimes we have our head down, do we not? We have our head down. And we're discouraged. Sometimes you can just see in the countenance of an individual, you don't even know what they're dealing with, you don't know what their life consists of, but you can see in their countenance that they're discouraged. Right? We've lived long enough, we can see, we can understand when someone's dealing with something. We may not know what it is, but we can tell when someone's discouraged. And David, though again his circumstances had changed rapidly and drastically, and though there's the opportunity for discouragement and disheartened and all those things, we find that it is the Lord who sustains us. He is the lifter up of mine head. This is a different circumstance here in Psalm 3 that would result in the writing of this particular psalm. It's at the rebellion and revolt of Absalom. But we find that David, you'll remember when the Amalekites came in and took all of the things in the camp and took all of the folks, you remember that the people, they were ready to kill David. They were ready to stone David. And the Bible tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, that could be a discouraging time when the very people that you're ministering to and leading are ready to stone you. David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord is the lifter up of mine head. He's the one that sustains us. See, when we understand who He is, and obviously the text, it's not exhaustive in verse number 3. It's just a few things that David mentions. As he responds to the situation by prayer, in prayer, we find that he starts first by rehearsing who God is to him. And as he says that he's a shield for me, he's my glory, he's the lifter up of my head, I note this evening that as we consider who he is to us, that it will encourage us, that it will strengthen us. It'll change our focus to understanding that our God is good. He's gracious, He's sovereign, He is able. Aren't you thankful that He's able? And this evening, as we think about the faithfulness of God, we think about the way in which He sustains us, we think about the way that He protects us, that He provides that defense that we need, that ought to cause us to rejoice greatly. I understand that we face difficulties. I understand that we have troubles and trials. But when we shift our attention, our focus from those things, and we get our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll have an impact in our lives. And I'm thankful that though our circumstances and though our trials, our life can change drastically and rapidly, that God is a constant, that He remains the same. He says, I change not. Our circumstances change, right? But God changes not. So we see first in this response of prayer that first David rehearses who God is to him. He says that it's personal and how precious that is. Next, we find that David rejoices for this reason. He rejoices that God heard his voice. Notice in verse number 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. We note that he says here in the phrase in verse number 4, with my voice, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. It would seem by using this phraseology, it's an obvious reference to audible prayer. Certainly God hears silent prayer. He knows the thoughts of His people. He knows the thoughts of even everyone. We know that the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees would gather during the time in life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would reason in their minds, and Jesus would say, why are you thinking this way? Why are you reasoning? Or He'd answer their thought before they'd even verbalize it. But we find that here, as we think about the psalmist and we think about the reality of his situation, and we find the response being one of prayer, that he's crying out to the Lord, and it's audible. And we find the fervency, if you will, of his prayer as he's praying audibly. I know that I've often mentioned over the years that for me, it helps me personally to pray audibly. It helps me to stay focused upon praying. It helps me to stay with some train of thought. I am talking to the Lord as I'm praying, and as I talk out loud, it helps me personally. I understand we always can't pray out loud. I understand there are times in which it would be maybe not wise for us to do so, but man, when we can pray with that audible voice, it helps us, it helps me, and we find that what causes David to rejoice greatly is the fact that he says, "And he heard me. And he heard me out of his holy hill." Aren't you thankful this evening that our God hears us when we pray? He hears us. I know it's a simple truth of God's word, but when we deal with the problems, the troubles of life, when we deal with the circumstances that David is dealing with in verses 1 and 2, when we have whatever that set of circumstances are that come into our lives, to have that confidence, to have that knowledge that God hears us, oh, we ought to rejoice in that. And we find that when we can acknowledge this evening that he hears us, that it ought to give us a peace. It ought to give us a rest. We'll look at that next week, actually, in verses 5 and 6, how that there's a rest that is the result of understanding that God hears us. See, many times throughout the Scriptures, we have the opportunity to see the contrast between Jehovah God and the many idols that people would serve. And often as you look at the Scriptures, the Bible will tell us of some of those idols, how they have ears, but they hear not, right? We find that often in the Scriptures. And when you begin to think about the way in which they have eyes and they see not, they have ears and they hear not, and you find those descriptions that are provided with regard to these idols, it's not true of our God. Psalm 135, you don't need to turn there, but in Psalm 135, the Bible says this in verse number 15, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths." But that's not a description of our God. Because when we pray, he hears us. Why was there such a theatrical performance that took place when Elijah had the showdown with the worshipers of Baal? I mean, they're crying and they're cutting themselves and they're doing all of these things and all of this theatrical type of a performance. Why? Because they're trying to get their false god to answer. But he doesn't hear. Why? Because he's not a true God. But our God, when we pray, he hears us. He hears. David says, first, I'm going to rehearse who God is to me. He's a shield for me. He's my glory. He's the lifter up of mine head. And I'm going to rejoice because when I cried unto the Lord with my voice, he heard me. He heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Begin to just meditate as we think about the experience of David and we think about his response to the situation. We say, oh, what a precious promise that the Lord has given us, that he says, I will hear you when you pray. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Solomon prayed a great prayer of dedication as the temple was built and it was completed and it was dedicated. And God responds by that great prayer of dedication by saying to Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. It causes us to rejoice greatly that God hears us. He answers in his time and according to his will, but we have this confidence that he hears us. And we ought to rejoice greatly just as David is rejoicing here in these verses of Scripture. I find the response of David to be both encouraging and impactful. I find this evening that when I and when you would face difficulties and trials and adversities, that when the reality of our situation is such as what David faced here as he would pen the words to this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that we would focus upon how we respond. We're all going to face difficulties. They're going to come in different shapes and different forms and from different people and so on and so forth. But the reality is that we're all going to face difficulty. How we respond to that difficulty, how we respond to that situation is of utmost importance. And here we find that David prays. Notice in closing just a few verses of Scripture, just two actually. Turn to the book of Psalms in the 55th chapter, Psalm 55. I'll give you two verses of Scripture that are familiar to us, Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Notice what the psalmist says here in this verse of Scripture. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do we believe the Word of God? It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. No doubt, even as David faced the situation that he faced, that there are times in which we face opposition and difficulty and say, I don't know how I could do this. I don't know how I can. We can't. But He can sustain us. Amen. When I am weak, what did Paul say? Then I am strong. What did God say to Paul? He besought the Lord thrice. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient, and He will sustain us. Notice another familiar verse of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And here we find that in verse number 7, Peter encourages these believers that he is writing to. By the way, if you do some background study of the book of 1 Peter, it will help you greatly to understand the great difficulties that they were facing. The trial of their faith, the fiery trial as it's described in this book, under the persecution of Nero, it was terrible. But notice what Peter says to these believers in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. You know the verse. Casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. See, there are times in which we like to hold on to some of it. Maybe it makes us feel better, and maybe it helps us think we're going to get sympathy. I don't know each situation and how they differ. But the reality is that we need to cast all our care unto the Lord, because He cares for us. As I think about this truth in Psalm 3 and the response of David in these verses of Scripture in Psalm 55 and in 1 Peter 5, I think of the way that the songwriters were influenced by truth such as what we're dealing with this evening. And I will not take a lot of time this evening to share some of the words of these familiar hymns. But I want to just, I had several written down. I'm just going to read the words to two familiar hymns to you this evening in closing. The first one is written by Miss Hoffman, and it's entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. We know the song. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I believe that Miss Hoffman was greatly influenced by some of the truth that we've looked at this evening. And we understand the great hymns of the faith. I even mentioned this on Sunday evening, how that many times these writers of these hymns, they were greatly impacted and influenced through the Word of God. As they walked with God, as they read and meditated upon the Word of God, you can see in the words of the hymns that we sing how that God's Word was so instrumental in their lives. Number 567 in our hymnal, the title of the song is All Your Anxiety. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. No other friend so keen to help you, no other friend so quick to hear, no other place to leave your burden, no other one to hear your prayer. Come then at once, delay no longer. Heed His entreaty, kind and sweet. You need not fear a disappointment. Ye shall find peace at the mercy seat. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden He cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. The last phrase of the third verse of this song says, you shall find peace at the mercy seat. And next week, as we study Psalm 3 in verses 5 and 6, the preview, as I gave you a preview last week to tonight's lesson, the preview for next week's lesson, is that in 5 and 6 of this psalm, in those verses, you see a peace. You see a rest. And what a blessing. Because when we understand who He is to me, and I rehearse it, I remind myself, Lord, Thou art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto Thee with my voice, and He heard me. He heard me. Out of His holy hill, Selah. David, as he's praying, as he responds to this difficulty that he's facing, it's exemplary for us. It's encouraging as we see the way that the Lord would sustain him. The situation was real. This was not a figment of his imagination. This was not an exaggeration. This was not an embellishment. No, this was a real situation he was dealing with. But his response is noteworthy. And it's summed up in one word, prayer. We change our focus from all of our trouble and all of our care and all of our burdens, and we change our focus from all of that, and we get our focus on our Savior and who He is to us and how it changes the situation. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for this psalm. And I believe this evening that as we have the opportunity to slowly walk through the verses of this psalm, God, You would use it in our hearts and lives to encourage us and to strengthen us. No doubt we face difficulties and we deal with adversities. But God, I thank You that for those of us that have been born again, we're saved, we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, You're our Savior, our Helper. And we will lift up our eyes into the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that You're the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. God, I'm thankful that You are a shield for me, just as You were for David. You provide the protection and the defense that we need. Thank You that You're constant, consistent, though all of our circumstances can change quickly and drastically, You remain the same. You're our glory. the lifter up of mine head. Though the circumstances can become discouraging, God, I thank you that you encourage us through your word, through the Holy Spirit of God, through other believers. At times, even as David did, we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you for the privilege, even as David rejoiced in that next verse of Scripture. Why? Because you heard him. We understand this evening that when we pray, you hear us. And that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Bless our time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.